CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to a very special CoOptiCast. It's our first ever E3 special, and the show is just wrapping up right about now, so we thought we'd discuss with everyone the highs and the lows of the show, and the co-op news that kind of came out of it. With me tonight is Mike and Kat again. How are you, fine folks?
Fantastic.
I am excellent.
Great. So let's jump right into it, and we're going to go through the big three press conferences, and then some of the other announcements that came out from third-party publishers. First press conference was Microsoft's, and they went pretty big. All the press conferences this year, I think, were pretty big, except I'd say Nintendo's was probably the weakest in terms of presentation and stuff.
No, Nintendo had Reggie. I'm just saying. Reggie's a big guy.
I'm talking about, like, lights and all that other good stuff.
Once screens. Again, Reggie.
Reggie's pretty big.
He will beat you.
Okay.
Did you watch him playing basketball?
Yeah,
he was kind of half-assing it for the first bit, and then when he started losing, you just saw the fire light behind his eyes, and he's like, I'm going to kick this guy into the floor. And you know what? He won.
So in the battle of the executives, you don't think John Shepard could beat Reggie?
I think Reggie could probably beat everybody in attendance at E3. You talk about one versus 100. I'm talking about one Reggie versus all of E3.
Gotcha. All right, so let's go to the press conferences. Microsoft's, the initial focus was kind of on a few of the games that they had coming out, a few big titles. We'll talk about them in a minute. And then they shifted focus to social networking, of all things, and announced some dashboard upgrades, including Twitter support, Facebook support, and this is like special dashboard applications built into the system that are designed around the NXC, so you can tweet from the dashboard. I'm eating Cheetos and playing Rainbow Six. You can do that now.
You know what they did by announcing all that support, right?
What's that?
They effectively destroyed a Raptor.
Yeah, they really did.
Like, the entire reason for that service was to kind of show your social media stuff what you're doing, but if you can do that straight from the Xbox,
yeah. So they went through that, and then they announced Natal, Project Natal, which, I don't know, I don't like the name, but what it is their motion sensing system or platform, and it consists of a, it's called a time camera, I guess it's the proper name for it, and what it does is it contains a camera lens and kind of a IR sensor, and it's able to determine where objects are in 3D space, and I was actually watching some behind-the-scenes videos of how the tech works, and it literally creates a wireframe model of what it's looking at. In its memory in real time, and developers can use this information to do whatever. They shared stuff with motion controls, swinging around, flailing around, all that other good stuff. They showed head tracking, which was really promising. That's probably the one thing I liked that I saw of it. It had voice recognition as well built into the platform. And so the highlight of the whole thing, the culmination of all the Natal stuff, is a little boy named Milo. And Milo is Peter Molyneux's next project. And actually the full thing is called Milo and Kate. And Milo and Kate is a dog and a boy, or Millie, which is the girl version of the boy. And it's basically an AI, sort of. It's like Seaman for the Dreamcast, if you ever played that game.
It's Seaman 3, only with creepy pedophile overtones.
Yeah, but it was really impressive. If they can get it to work the way they did in the demo, I will be very impressed. From the journalist impressions that we've seen, it's been hit or miss. There's been some moments of brilliance when they've acted with this kid, and then the shortcomings were pretty much apparent right away. So that's basically the press conference in a nutshell, but let's talk about the games that they announced, specifically the co-op games. The biggest one, the shocker for us, was Left 4 Dead 2.
Ugh.
And everyone was kind of like, oh my god, already? Didn't this just come out?
Exactly.
So that's been the focus basically of everybody's news posts about it, and every article I've read kind of has that grr slant on it. Like, why are you making me spend $60 again? I just bought this. Kind of a thing.
Well, the problem with Left 4 Dead 2 is that what they announced about it is not enough to make it seem like it's a sequel. It seems like the kind of, like, if you look at what Valve had been doing with Team Fortress 2 and updating all the classes, adding new maps and whatnot, they did it slowly over time. A lot of people think Valve is the great savior of giving us free crap. So yeah. When they decide to monetize a Left 4 Dead content pack, essentially, as the sequel, it really is peeing in a lot of people's Cheerios. And I gotta say, I was pretty disappointed to see that they are calling this a sequel. And, you know, this would be a perfect expansion pack. Like, yeah, they have said in the past that they wanted to support Left 4 Dead pretty heavily the same way they did TF2. But, you know, I'd be willing to pay maybe $20 or $30 for this. But if this game comes out as a full retail thing, I think a lot of people are going to go back on the goodwill that Left 4 Dead got, you know?
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to it because, hey, it has chainsaws, and chainsaws plus zombies equals fun.
Anything to add, Kat?
Not to that one. I kind of put in my two cents at the end of the article that I posted on the site, so...
Okay. I just say that I've read now a couple interviews with some of the Valve folks about it, and there's definitely a lot more changes, I think, than they're letting on to believe. It sounds like there's going to be a much tighter story in this. It's not just going to be kind of like there's going to be kind of like an overarching thing over the whole game, and there's going to be a little bit more stuff in that sense, as well as a bunch of weapons. Like, the melee weapons are a big addition, because they weren't in it anyway. So there's supposed to be like baseball bats and golf clubs and chainsaws, and
frying pan.
So that's a pretty big difference right there.
Well, it's in it. What they the thing is, they talk about the melee class of weapons, but essentially all they are is a more functional version of what happens when you pick up a gas can and bash people with it.
Yeah,
you know, it's cool, and they're all unique, and that's awesome. But you know, if you really look at what it is. What they've announced, like, there could be a ton of stuff about Left 4 Dead 2 that blows people's minds, and they're like, wow, this really is a sequel. But it does really seem like an expansion pack.
But it's no different than anything else out there, I think. Especially, so what the one interview, actually, the guy said that Left 4 Dead 2, like, already is bigger in size than the first one. Like, there's more content. There's more textures, more you know, models, and everything else. It's already bigger than it. You know, we're still 4 or 5 months away from it here. It's no different than you look at, you know, any of the other big games that have come out that get sequels. It's not really anything more than new textures and models, and you know, maybe a new game type or something. Like Gears of War 2, right? It's the same thing with the Horde mode added.
Right, but
necessarily a bad thing. But
I'm not saying that it's inherently bad or awful or boo on Valve, but the problem is, even with Gears of War 2, there was 2 years in between those games. This is coming out almost a year to the day after.
There's a new Harry Potter movie every year.
But movies only take a few months to shoot.
Not necessarily.
Well, to shoot it, and then there's post-production.
So, I mean, I guess the thing is, Valve's a business, they need to make money. I don't know. I kind of see people's points that you're harping on them for it, but I don't necessarily agree that that's a reason to trash the game.
Well, the real reason is that they announced a release date for this, and if you ever understood what Valve time means, this game's not coming out till 2010.
Because Valve isn't making it. They're only publishing it. Right? It's Turtle Rock Studios, so that would be why.
But, well, that's internal Valve at this point.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Agreed. Rock Band Beatles was pretty big at the conference. They brought on Yoko Ono, and I forget who else.
That's very apt, and I'll tell you why very quickly.
Okay.
Have you heard most people singing in Rock Band? We can agree that's pretty universally terrible. Okay.
Point taken.
Rock Band, Beatles, other than the Beatles catalogs, really big feature is vocal harmony. Now, take three screeching Yoko Ono wannabe vocalists and then make them try and harmonize. And you can imagine what this game is going to sound like.
I can't wait for PAX.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks great, though, style-wise. It's gorgeous. And it's exactly what you'd expect. So, another good party game to add to the list. There's a game called Joyride announced. It was by that recently acquired studio that Microsoft bought. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. But it's basically a free Avatar kart racing game that's supposed to have some kind of co-op modes in it. So it looks kind of interesting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I thought it looked kind of cool. I don't know. Yeah, free helps a lot.
There's a game, Turtles in Time Reshelled. We just saw a video of that, but that's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Turtles in Time remake. That's we talked about a month or two ago, and that looks pretty solid.
It's right. A great game, so hopefully the remake won't do anything to ruin it.
Yeah. And then we had a nice little surprise announcement, and it was Crackdown 2, and though we didn't get much info on it, we did get a trailer that looked pretty much, it was pretty much all CG. But we do know that it is going to be 4-player co-op now, as well as have competitive multiplayer modes for 16 players. It looks to be set in the same city, and it looks like there's some sort of virus or something going on. Hopefully it's not more zombies. Every game doesn't need zombies right now. Hopefully they do kind of their own thing.
It's getting a little run into the ground at this point.
Yeah. And then finally, we had two Halo announcements. Only one really was confirmed to have co-op, and it's a game we already knew about, but Halo 3 ODST.
It had some phenomenal trailers if you guys get a chance to check those out.
Yeah, so ODST looked pretty good, the trailer. They showed some gameplay on stage. They announced a co-op mode called Firefight. One thing I'm kind of worried about, though, is a while ago they had said that ODST would have co-op through the single player, but they really haven't talked about it at all at E3, so I'm hoping they didn't scratch that and just go with the Firefight mode as like a replacement.
Yeah, the Firefight mode is neat, but a lot of co-opers really like to go through the storyline as well, so I really hope they didn't drop it as well. But the Firefight, Horde mode with Halo Universe seems like it'd be really, really interesting.
Yeah, and so the other Halo game that was announced was called Halo Reach. Not much is known about it. The only thing I've seen so far that it is going to be a first-person shooter, and it'll take place on the planet Reach, which, if you read the Fall of Reach, is kind of where the war started against the Covenant.
Wouldn't it be so astoundingly meta if the game is actually literally a imagining of the novel as a game?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Actually, I think that would be great as well. That's what I was kind of hoping for when they announced the name.
if they went through the early Spartan stuff, like the Spartan training stuff and all that, that would be really neat.
But in the end, you would die.
Well, we all gotta die sometime.
Spoilers, I'm sorry.
Alright, so anything else from the Microsoft conference you guys wanted to talk about?
Let's get to Sony.
Alright, Sony. Sony had the big blitz going on, and right away Jack Tretton set the stage and the tone with a little joke, because we all know the PSP Go leaked out about a week before the actual press conference. And so he said that Sony is the industry leader in E3 leaks. So that was a nice little opening joke. I don't know. If anybody's followed E3 over the years, ever since basically the infamous Killzone 2 announcement trailer from 2006?
2005.
Yeah, 2005. They had some really horrible press conferences. And last year and this year especially, they really kind of lightened the tone up. They joked with people a bit. They didn't take themselves quite so seriously, and it's really worked well. And they've really given an excellent press conference. And I think this one was the best of the show, with one exception. But I don't know. What did you guys think overall?
I am definitely in agreement. I would say Sony and Microsoft tied, but Microsoft wowed me with what they're extending the system to do, because I already know good games appear on the system. But what Sony did was they finally convinced me that I'm going to be using my PS3 for more than the odd exclusive this year. You know, there's definitely a lot of stuff that, you know, is enticing about it.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of announcements with the PSP Go with community options as well, which was really nice.
So the only other big announcement they had before we get to the games was their motion sensing technology, because I think that was the buzzword of the E3 this year. Everybody had to get on that.
Was it just me, or did the guy demoing that look like he was about to burst into tears at any moment?
Oh yeah, he was like, ah crap, Microsoft did something better already, and now we got to show this and not look like schmucks.
Well, I don't think Microsoft necessarily did them one up. Because their videos were, you know, they were prepared videos. They were kind of like Wii commercials.
Yeah.
You know, they show people doing X, and you say, well, I guess system does X. And they brought out, and to their credit, they brought out an interesting working piece of tech, but to their detriment, it was very obviously internal, you know, demo playgrounds, and it was not... You know, well, it was cool what the guy was doing, and it was easy to extrapolate what you would be able to do with those controllers. A couple things stood out to me. One, in order for anything awesome to really happen with that, that guy had to hold two of them. So guess what they're selling you multiples of?
Not to mention the camera, too.
Right. So, you know, it's... If it does everything that it appeared to do there, that's really awesome. Motion-controlled games are definitely not my bailiwick. I hope that that's not the future of gaming, because I really don't like flailing around like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back exclusively to PC gaming if that's what everybody ends up going through. No, seriously, I have no desire to jump around like a monkey in my living room.
Yeah, I think I'd even take up PC gaming at that point, to be honest.
No, if Microsoft will rejuvenate the Sidewinder 3D controller from years ago, which was, you know, motion sensitive.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into the games that they announced with some co-op. Pixel Junk Monsters Deluxe for the PSP is the same as the arcade or the PlayStation Network title, the downloadable one. But they added some additional levels to that. It's a tower defense game. The really cool thing is not only does it have local co-op through ad hoc, but also co-op over the internet, which is something the PSP severely lacks for most games.
Yeah, the PS3 even lacks that quite a bit. And they were really excited that they could make like chat rooms and stuff basically for it.
Yeah. So that's some good news there. The other Pixel Junk game... It was originally called Pixel Junk 1-4 because it was their fourth title, but it got a name right before the show, and it's called Shooter. And it's a... they describe it as like a hybrid between like Chopper Lifter.
It looked a lot like Jetpack to me, but...
Yeah, a little bit like Jetpack. Basically, you control like a little ship through these caverns, and there's lava and there's water, and you're trying to rescue these people from, you know, getting... burned to death by the lava by combining it with the water and creating terrain, and it looks really interesting, and it's just gorgeous in motion. And they announced a 2-player co-op mode for that, so that looks pretty good. Both of those are coming out this fall. Little Big Planet PSP, haven't seen much of it, but we do know it's going to be completely separate from the original Little Big Planet. It's going to have its own community, its own tools, and stuff like that. No word if that's going to be... I guess they're going to have internet co-op in that if they're going to have a community site that you can upload the stuff to and everything.
That's going to be a great addition to the Go, because despite the Go's high cost to entry, it does have 16 gigs of storage, and Little Big Planet is pretty much dependent on you having storage to put all those levels
in.
So that's a good platform for that to come out with, I think.
Yeah. And then there was a announcement. We didn't see anything from it, but it's been rumored for a while, but Lost Planet 2 is coming to the PlayStation 3 next year. I believe it's coming to the 360 this fall. So that's good news for PS3 players. That's a four-player co-op title, which the trailer for that, I don't know if you guys saw it, but the trailer was really badass.
Yeah, it was.
I did not see it, but I will now.
now that you have a computer that's capable of watching trailers.
That's right.
But the most badass trailer of the show goes to Uncharted 2. Wow. I mean, that just... I showed it to somebody at work that doesn't play video games, and they were like, what is this? Like, they were like, this could be a movie. And I was like, yeah,
yes,
it's,
it could.
It's that good. Like, the story is just amazing, and that trailer just blew me away.
Yeah, Uncharted 2 is definitely my most anticipated title of the year, and the original is still probably my favorite game of this generation, so I will gladly accept any more of it. And you and I have been playing the multiplayer beta.
Yeah, we have.
And it's awesome.
It is.
And the co-op is pretty cool.
Yeah, they do some different things in it.
It's kind of like what I played of Resistance 2's co-op, but without the leveling system and tomfoolery.
Yeah, I mean, you do unlock, like, perks and stuff, different kinds of things that you can add to your character, which work in co-op. It actually transfers back and forth between the co-op mode and the competitive multiplayer mode.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a bit like Gears of War to me. Like, it feels a little bit tighter, a little bit slower than the first Uncharted. Like, Uncharted kind of was a little bit loose, like, in...
It flowed.
In the aiming. Yeah. So I think they tightened it up, and it feels really good now. So it's a three-player co-op thing, and we did get confirmation today that you can play with just two if you want. But the beta has you stuck with three. It fills in that last slot.
Well, it seems like part of the beta is testing matchmaking, so you know, I will gladly accept a three-player forced game as long as, you know, as they said, I don't have to do that.
So just real quick, like, some of the cool things in it is... everything's pretty vertical, and actually, when I played a couple more rounds today, I found some areas that, like, people didn't realize you could actually go into, and you can climb up the side of buildings and kind of get in some overhangs to cover your friends and stuff. And then there's these clues, or these icons in the terrain where it has a number of people in it that says, like, if you get two people here, you'll move a bookcase so you can climb over this object, or you need all three people there to, you know, go over a bus or whatever. So they kind of integrated the platforming aspects into the co-op a little bit. I don't know if it's going to be as linear as it is in the demo, because it does kind of cut you off halfway through. You get to kind of like a boss battle, and it's like, continue next time.
Yeah, it definitely cuts you off before it gets really interesting, but it definitely leaves you wanting for more.
Yep. All right, so let's move on to Nintendo's. And after last year, many people didn't have high expectations for Nintendo's press conference. They like to throw out their numbers.
Boy, do they.
Yeah. So this year, they kind of did it, but they didn't do it so directly. It was just kind of constantly mentioning it.
last year, charts and graphs. 18 million people played Wii Fit, and this year they get more.
I saw a great headline. I think Joystick had it. It said, like, Nintendo sells 15 million Wii Fits, two people still playing.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good. Their press conference, though, kind of focused on how they have games for everybody. They jump back and forth between, you know, a hardcore game. There was one from Ubisoft called, I think it was called Cop
the Recruit or something.
Yeah, something like that. It looked kind of cool. It was kind of like an open world GTA style game. They went from that to, like, you know, Imagine Girls or something, right?
Whatever the manage your own fashion boutique game was.
Yeah, the one that comes with the lilac. Oh, no, that was
the PSP.
The Hannah Montana PSP, which I'm getting you.
Oh, thank you so much.
But anyway, back to Nintendo. So they jumped around quite a bit to how they just, you know, they cover everybody. And they're joining that social networking bandwagon. They promised to have Facebook support built into their DSi with the ability to, like, upload your photos and stuff through it this fall. Not too much in the way of co-op, though. Just one really big announcement, a really cool one. And that was the new Super Mario Bros. Wii. And that is the full title of the game, actually. It's a four-player co-op Mario Bros. It's a side-scroller classic platformer. That just looks really, really cool.
It looks kind of like if you played New Super Mario Bros. For the DS, it looks like that mixed with Zelda Four Swords Adventures and a little tiny smattering of Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked intriguing to me. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to the Nintendo press conference because I was having computer issues, but the only thing that really popped up was that one, and it had a lot of, I don't know, four-player co-op is kind of interesting to me. Especially since it had random characters that weren't just Mario and Luigi, so
yeah, they were, the other two were just Toad characters,
right?
Which are kind of weird. There are other characters in the Mario universe people could use. I wonder if maybe that ends up being like unlockable or something.
The weirdest thing about this is they were showing off how if the players split up, the field of view starts widening and widening, but there is a limit to it. So it looks like if people are not being as friendly together as they should be, you can actually just end up killing all your co-op partners.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings it back to, you know, Four Swords, where you would work together to solve puzzles and whatnot, or you could attack everybody and steal their rupees and whatnot. So it's yeah. kind of that competitive co-op that Little Big Planet has.
Yeah, well, they actually, Miyamoto actually used that term to describe it and said that that was kind of their intention with it, so.
Looks fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. Local only, of course. Nintendo doesn't acknowledge the online world exists, really.
That's all right.
So, that's fine with me. But yeah, other than that, nothing big out of Nintendo's. They tried to show that they're all hardcore now and showed some Resident Evil and Metroid Other M.
Hey, you know what? Save that for the end, because that's one of my big things.
All right, we won't talk about that. We'll wait. So so besides the press conferences, some third parties came out with a few game announcements and some hands-on impressions of games we've been watching. Kind of write down the list here. First one, which was kind of a surprise one, that I didn't even realize it had co-op when it was announced until I started digging into the press material. It's a game called Brink. And it's from
Grey Matter and Bethesda.
Grey Matter, thank you. That's what I was trying to think of. Being published by Bethesda, Grey Matter made the Quake Wars.
And Enemy Territories.
Enemy Territory
Wolfenstein
Quake Wars.
Back in the day.
So the game's supposed to be kind of like this. I don't know if it's open world, but the idea is like you build a persistent character, and anything you do in like single player, you can carry over to the game's co-op. And as well into the competitive multiplayer. And there's a bunch of different roles you can kind of assume and level up and stuff like that. It has a dynamic mission system in it, which sounds pretty interesting. Basically, depending on what kind of people you have with you, like in your co-op group, it'll generate a mission so everybody kind of has a thing to do with it. So like maybe if you have like a sniper with you, part of the mission might be to take out the sniper might be to take out certain guys while the guy on the ground is going in and infiltrating to get something out of, you know, a base or something. It sounded pretty interesting. The art style was really unique.
Yeah, I like the stylish art that they used for it. It doesn't look like it's got kind of that Unreal Engine 3 look to it, but everybody they stylize them just so much that they don't look like they're the typical Unreal 3 looking guys, so.
Yeah. Anything, Kat?
Not on that one. It looks kind of interesting. I'm used to Bethesda doing very, very different things, so it'll be neat to see what they and Grey Matter come up with.
This is Bethesda the publisher, not Bethesda Game Studios, which is a different thing entirely.
Aha. Yeah.
did ZeniMax buy Grey Matter?
I don't know about that, but this, you know, Bethesda had that event back in, I think it was a month ago when they revealed Fallout New Vegas and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're taking a more active role as a publishing arm instead of, you know, simply Todd Howard's game studio.
Yeah, so ZeniMax is the publishing parent of Bethesda. And they, I know there's another Bethesda studio that was launched that's supposed to be for MMOs, yeah. which we haven't seen anything from yet.
Yeah.
So they have their own little unique thing down there in Maryland, doing their games and stuff.
I'll go down the road and knock on the door and ask them what's going on.
Yeah, man. Go find out what's up.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, another open world shooter RPG game which we've been watching. Which also has a really beautiful style, is Borderlands. And the impressions so far have been really positive. Apparently, though, there wasn't actually any hands-on. It was just developer demos behind closed doors. They didn't let the people play. But they said, from what they saw, everything seemed really open. It was actually pretty violent. There was a great article I read that said something like, these were the two best quotes we heard of the show were Randy Pitchford, who's the Gearbox president, said, so to take out these spiders, you just shoot them in their ass sack. And he goes, wait, that didn't come out right. And he said, then a moment later, he said, oh, look, the midgets are on fire. And they were immediately sold. So
I guess Randy Pitchford, no stranger to hyperbole.
But, so from the show, we did get one announcement, which Scott Benton from In-Game Chat let us know, is that the console versions will have split-screen co-op.
Our forums just exploded in applause.
Yeah, well, like, people were, when I posted the story, I wanted to get it up as soon as I could, and there was a couple immediate responses of people like, thank God. So that's good. That's good to hear. Split-screen's good. People like sitting on their couches with their friends and playing. Another surprise one, which came a little later in the show, actually, it was like yesterday I think we posted this story, was that Tekken 6 was going to have a co-op mode, and it's not just like tag team fighting, like there's actual like a beat-em-up mode. Like
it's the Tekken 4, isn't it just the Tekken Force mode that they've thrown into most of the ones since 4?
Kind of. It looked a little bit different, and supposedly it's much bigger than any of those other modes. So far, so it should be interesting to see how it plays out. I haven't seen
as long as a
fighting game with co-op in a long time, so...
You know, as long as it is not Death by Degrees, the minigame, I'll think it's cool. Because that game was an abortion.
Okay,
it's
then.
It's got kangaroos.
Yeah.
Moving on, DJ Hero, which we kind of talked about on a previous podcast, impressions actually started coming out from it, and I saw some videos of it, and I want it now.
You like strippers, do you?
Yeah, I'm going to have my own little strip club in my basement, and I'm going to be DJing it. But, no, it just, they were showing some of the co-op mode with the table and the guitar, and, the mixing worked really well, and you could tell, like, the person that's using the DJ controller has quite a bit of control with the crossfader and stuff to control which parts of which songs are coming in and out and applying the effects and stuff. So it's probably the closest thing to an actual instrument in a Hero game that we've seen to date, where you have that much control over what's actually coming out of the speakers.
And this is just because I haven't read too much into it, but will it allow you to plug some headphones into it and mix properly?
I don't know.
Because I think if they want to go... There's two things they could do. That you could buy two of the controllers and do like the ultra expert mode where you're actually spinning on both of them at once. And then you would plug the headphones in, and you'd have a crossfader in between it, and you could use the headphones to set up the timing and then do all the normal DJ stuff. That would be pretty rad.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I haven't seen that much on it. I just saw a couple of demos of people playing, and the impressions so far have been fairly positive. They have said that it is a little bit difficult to get the hang of, but...
Well, what was the... was it Beatmania? Is the Konami-developed one that is the same thing that came out a few years ago? And that was ridiculously difficult.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited for that. I haven't seen pricing on it yet. Hopefully it's not... I don't know. I'm hoping like $100, maybe.
I'm thinking it'll probably be about 90, but... I'm an eternal optimist, apparently.
So... What about you, Kat? You going to be opening your own strip club there and
absolutely
help support school?
I'm signing up right now for the permits and stuff. Oh, wait. I live Sweet. Next to a school. Oh, so sad.
But you can DJ for the... You just want... You're going to college now, right? Shouldn't this help pay your way through school?
You can DJ on the corner.
Is that what the kids do these days?
Yeah, I have to buy some, like, clear heels and stuff. I'll work on it and let you guys know.
All right. So, another game... I'm moving on. Another game that was, was announced was from Koei, and it's called Warriors, Legends of Troy.
Dynasty Warriors with Greeks. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, we didn't see any gameplay, but we did see a really brutal teaser trailer. So I'm hoping they're going a little more edgy, because Dynasty Warriors, the fighting in it's kind of hokey. You know, it's kind of arcadey. But if they would go a little more God of War-ish in the violence of it, I think it could be cool.
It could be cool. I'll probably, you know, check it out, because I have a curiosity in those games. I pick them up every now and then.
I was impressed by what I saw, so I will definitely look forward to that one for sure.
You just want to see the guys without their shirts on.
Oh, yeah.
Buff muscles and their big spears.
Ooh, big spears.
Maybe with the new motion controllers, there can be a body oiling mini game.
It'll be like 300 all over again.
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, what?
That's what. That was the one thing I thought of while watching the trailer. I was like, well, you can't say nobody's gonna be able to do that. This is Sparta joke with this, because it's not. So, moving on, Trine was shown on the show floor, and people got their hands on it, and the impressions were just through the roof. Everybody really liked what they saw. It's a 3-player co-op platform puzzler kind of a thing.
Yeah.
For the PlayStation Network, PC, and word came out today that a Xbox Live Arcade version's in the works. That's actually being published by Atlus, which is interesting.
Excellent.
But yeah, the graphics on it are just, it's probably the best looking arcade game I've seen to date. I mean, it's just really, really pretty.
Yeah, when I was looking into doing articles and stuff about it, when I was looking it up, I was like, wait, this is an arcade game? That doesn't make any sense. This is way too pretty to be an arcade game. And it is, so weird.
So, yeah, I don't know if we've seen a date yet for the PlayStation Network or PC versions, but the Xbox Live Arcade one is supposed to be later this year, with after the PlayStation Network one, so... Looking forward to that.
It looks great.
And finally, the last one is LEGO Indie 2. And while it's, you know, it's standard run-of-the-mill LEGO game, it does have one interesting option, and that's a level editor.
Which is...
So it could be cool.
The potential for that is really awesome, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I, for one, look forward to building a refrigerator. Because the only movie they haven't touched yet is Crystal Skull.
So you're going to have that the launch out of the nuclear blast in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Cool.
And you know how the LEGO games always give some weird character trait to everybody? Like how, you know, Willy from Temple of Doom, her secret power in LEGO Indie was to shriek and annoy people?
Yeah.
I think that translates to breaking glass, but that's kind of the same thing.
I think that if they put Shia in the game, which they probably will, his ability will, well, that's a little tasteless, but his ability will probably be to do bad Marlon Brando impersonation. Just be glad I didn't say what I was about to.
Okay, well, this is a family podcast.
Oh, it's you know, just go on.
All right, so other than that, that's about it for the co-op games that we saw. There's still going to be some news coming out over the next day or two as people write up their stuff, and we might have missed something, but I think that's about it. So overall, like between last year and this year, last year's theme of the show actually almost seemed co-op. There was huge co-op announcements with like Fable 2 and Resident Evil 5 and all this stuff, and this year it was kind of like nothing major was announced with co-op. It was almost like it was expected now, So it was different.
I was pretty pleased overall with the amount of co-op announced. Everything that looked like it should have co-op pretty much was announced with it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there wasn't any disappointments really. So let's move on to our favorite moments of the or games of the show. Mike, I'll let you go first here.
Mine, because it's off the wall. But my favorite announcement that came out of E3 was the fact that Telltale, the studio that developed the Sam & Max games and Strong Bad and Wallace and Gromit, they're all ex-LucasArts folks from the, you know, most of them are anyway, and they're from the teams that put all the classic Scum games together. And they got the rights to make Monkey Island games again, and I squealed with glee and jumped around the room dancing for about 20 minutes because I have waited 8 years for a Monkey Island sequel of any kind, and this was just the absolute best news you could have given me. It made me so happy, and that it didn't come out of any press conference made me even happier, because I like the unexpected stories to really, you know, capture my imagination, and this really did. If I had to pick something from the big press conferences, though, I definitely say that Metroid Other M is really making me regret giving my Wii away earlier in the year, because I'm a huge, huge Metroid fan, and it just, I don't know, I like Team Ninja without Itagaki is one thing, but the potential for this game to kick all sorts of ass is really high. So, and since Nintendo is notorious at, you know, not letting people screw up their intellectual property too badly anyway, I'm pretty sure that the quality control on this will be pretty high. So that made me, that was probably the biggest piece of news out of any of those press conferences.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. I'm not a big Metroid fan, but
heathen.
Perhaps I like the old ones, but not the newer ones.
Well, Super Metroid is one of the greatest games of all time, so it's easy to like.
Kat, what about you? What was your favorite game or favorite moment of the show?
I'm not actually really sure. I didn't get to watch a whole lot of it with PC issues in general. I really enjoyed covering a lot of the stuff and seeing what people had to say about hands-on things, comparing different websites, experiences with some of the games. So that was a lot of fun, just to kind of look around and see what everybody thought. So basically,
How about your most anticipated game that's been announced?
I would have to say probably the remake of Turtles in Time is really intriguing to me. Trine looks amazing as well, but Turtles in Time is an old-time favorite of mine, so to see it completely reskinned, and they actually added my two favorite bad guys from the movies into it
Toko
as well.
And Rezar.
Yeah, I love them. They're very fun. So I'm hoping to see a lot of good things with that one, so that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
Cool. Yeah, and that should be out this summer, so it won't be much longer.
Yep.
So Nick, oh, sorry, but Nick, I have to ask, is your favorite game / moment of this E3 what I think it is, what we know it is, and what we expect it to be?
The Lilac Hannah Montana PSP?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, my favorite moment, though, was the Crackdown 2 announcement at the Microsoft press conference, because any fan of Crackdown 2 or Crackdown knows the orb sound in the game.
Yes.
And that was how they announced the game, basically. They said, you know, and we have this title, and the place went dark, and all you heard was the sound of the orb, like the pulsing orbs. And everyone was like, oh my god, Crackdown 2! And it was a cool moment, because it was a good way to treat the fanboys. And nobody really saw it coming. There wasn't even really, I mean, it's been rumored for a while that there's the Crackdown 1.5 thing and the Crackdown 2 thing.
Well, and the Crackdown theme released a few days ago.
Right, yeah. So people are like, come on, really? And they're like, nah. And people kind of assumed that there's the ongoing battle between Real Time Worlds, who made the first Crackdown, and then Ruffian Studios, who a lot of the developers that formed that studio worked on the original Crackdown. Nobody really knew who would make it, and it turns out it is Ruffian Studios that is making it. So it looks like that kind of pissed off Real Time Worlds, because that was kind of talked about a lot with Microsoft stuff before, but now it was at EA's press conference, actually, and EA's publishing that.
But APB is a PC game.
True, but Microsoft publishes PC games too.
I know, but it was odd that came out of a press conference at EA, because you know, despite PCs being where they are, you know, you don't expect too many huge announcements coming out of that. And I think a lot of people expected APB to be a console game. Really? Yeah, but it's not. It's PC only for now.
I actually had thought it was going to be a console as well, too. But, that was definitely my moment, though, Crackdown 2. It's going to be a long wait until next year, because that's a 2010 title. That was one of the themes of the show that was kind of weird, is that the previous two E3s, they really said, like, everything you're going to see here is going to be out this year. Like, that was, like, most of what every publisher was saying. And this year, we saw a lot of 2010 titles, and you had things like Sony announcing Agent from Rockstar Games that, like, it was nothing than much more than a logo.
Yeah.
And that was it. or you had their Final Fantasy 14. You can only get it on the PlayStation 3
and PC and 360, which was announced later.
Yeah. the next press conference, it was announced that it's going to be coming out. Oops.
The surprising thing for me was that the 2010 games, the release window for that is all like springtime.
That's true too.
Like,
like
you have like immediately God of War 3, which you know they shut off. I mean, that game has always come out in March. And next year's no different, and I'm completely blanking on what else was coming out in spring, but...
That MAG game,
right?
Their big multiplayer
shooter. Final Fantasy 13 is going to be another spring title. There's a lot of stuff coming in the first few months of the year.
Yeah, definitely. So, overall, pretty good show. I think it was a little information-heavy on the front end, but... Yeah, I mean, I heard a good thing. I talked with Scott a little bit about it. He was a little disappointed at first. He said that, you know, it was a little bit harder to get some work done. It was a little bit too noisy and stuff. But some of the other booths did a pretty good job of concealing the meetings away from the show floor so you could actually get some work done and talk to developers and stuff. So it sounds like next year it's going to be back again. Same format. A little bit later, though. June 15th next year. So, hopefully we will be there.
Definitely.
We will be there.
So, very good. If that's it, anything else you guys want to add?
I don't think so. I think that covers pretty much everything we did this week.
I would recommend everyone sit back, relax, and just digest the large amount of gaming goodness that we have been dealt this week.
Yeah, I am... I sat down today to write an article or two, and I was just like, man, I'm really tired of this. I needed a break.
Yeah, I'm writing a review right now, and I keep thinking, like, wow, you know what would be really awesome is if I had Brutal Legend right now. Oh, and Uncharted 2, and I should be typing.
You know who else is saying it'd be really awesome to have Brutal Legend?
Activision.
Exactly. Okay, so this has been the special Co-opticast episode for E3 2009. The Co-opticast is the official podcast of Co-optimist.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us feedback. We love feedback. We love the little stars. I think that's it.
And I like turtles.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Okay, we're going to go before this gets bad.
Okay.